are back for another Ask Me Anything video, and today I'm going to answer four questions about recovering from narcissistic abuse. So let's get started.
Closed captioning provided by Athena Moberg and CPTSDFoundation.org.
My name is Angie Atkinson, and on this channel I offer free daily video coaching to help you discover, understand, and overcome narcissistic abuse in toxic relationships. I like to call it toxic relationship rehab. So if that sounds good to you, hit that subscribe button and let's get going. Each of these questions came from a survivor, and I think each one might offer you some insight and help that you may not have otherwise had. So let's just jump right into them, shall we? Number one, how come the narcissist can feel anger, jealousy, and rage, but he or she can't feel empathy and love and compassion? How come they only feel the negative side? What happened to the positive side? Anybody who's been in a relationship with a narcissist will feel me on this one. You are dealing with someone who's not a standard human being. They don't have the same kinds of emotions. They most definitely do not have the same kind of empathy as normal people. On the plus side, narcissistic people are really predictable.
Narcissists have this way of thinking they're the center of everything, and you would think that somebody like that would only be able to have an amazing life where they're happy all the time, right? And sometimes narcissists seem happy all the time to those on the outside. But when their needs aren't being met, when they feel like they're being lumped in with other people and not considered unique and special, extraordinary even, that's when things get bad. If all those conditions are being met, they're perfectly fine. The problem is they have these egos, tiny little fragile egos. I've talked about it before. They're like a little glass egg. They teeter on the end of their finger. Because this little ego is so fragile, it needs to be constantly fed, stroked, constantly built up. But when this doesn't happen, what happens? The narcissist becomes resentful, angry, unhappy with their lives. They find themselves feeling unflattered. They find themselves being criticized. They find themselves being ignored by people who are high in status, or high in status in the narcissist's mind anyway. Someone else is treating them equal to other people. They don't like that. They're not considered the center of attention, or someone doesn't take their advice. Anyone else happens to take the spotlight. Or somebody questions a story or laughs at a joke that isn't theirs or laughs at something that wasn't supposed to be a joke that the narcissist says. Anything like that makes a narcissist unhappy. But why do you think that is? It's because narcissists get all of their happiness from what? External sources. They need flattery. They need to be good looking or rich or accomplished or to have the best possessions in order to get attention, because they cannot self-validate. Ironically enough, they cannot self-validate, and yet they won't validate you ever, anytime, except maybe during love bombing. So if anything happens to a narcissist to make him or her feel less than amazing, the first thing they're going to do is crumble, and the second thing they're going to do is abuse their primary source of supply. Because the narcissist has no concept of inner satisfaction, of being a decent person, of actual compassion for someone else, they can't imagine anyone else has actual compassion for them. They are most focused on being validated externally. They want to have the best looking spouse. They want to have the nicest car in the biggest house in the nicest neighborhood. If any of those things disappears, so does their self-confidence. So does their ability to feel happy. When a narcissist is alone, what do you think happens? They kind of dry up like a little plant that doesn't get any water. They need supply in order to feel like a human. They need the constant stream of attention. And if they don't get it, they feel like they're almost dying. We've talked before about the collapsed narcissist. The collapsed narcissist is a miserable, horrible person. And the reason they're that way is because they usually can't get any supply, or not the same kind of supply that they could get when they were younger and maybe more attractive or wealthier. But yet when the narcissist gets admiration from someone else, if someone says, wow, that's a really nice car, or oh, you're so good looking, or wow, your wife is really hot, or wow, your husband is a real winner, they get instant gratification from that. They instantly feel, oh, I'm all better. But then if they're alone, they fall right down in the hole of misery. And God forbid they come in contact with their personal self, with their own demons. See, the thing is, narcissists, they need everything to be perfect in their lives. They need to feel like they're perfect. But the truth is, this can't be the case. This can't happen. Nobody's perfect. Nothing is perfect. So while the narcissist spends his or her entire lifetime trying to be perfect, it's not a possible thing. It's not a mission they can ever complete. And so they never find true happiness. Even if people who don't know the narcissist would say, gosh, that your life is great. I wish I had a life that was that great. It's still never quite enough for the narcissist. They're still always trying to do a little better. That's pretty much why narcissists will never be happy.
Number two, why is there no cure for narcissism? Don't they make a pill for this? Well, let's talk about that. There are a lot of neurological issues for narcissists, as well as their own trauma issues from childhood. And in some cases, instead of trauma, it's a matter of having been spoiled as children and not being held accountable for anything that they did. In any case, narcissists don't go to doctors and ask for a pill to get better because they don't believe that there's anything wrong with them. So if you could get a narcissist to change his or her mind and believe that there was something wrong with them, it's possible that there are certain drugs that could be prescribed to them by qualified professionals that might actually help them with their narcissism. But since most of them won't change, most of them won't even acknowledge there's an issue, we'll never know for sure if drugs could cure narcissism, in my opinion. Number three, why does my sister seem to want to be me? She has chased every boyfriend and made moves on my husband, dyed her hair to match mine. She's copied everything, right down to my memories, claiming things that I experienced as her own, copied my hobbies, my music, even steals my creative work. It's really upsetting and disturbing. Oh, I have been here. This is really difficult. You know, they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but this is like some single white female crap, right? For those of you who are too young to know what I'm talking about, there was a movie back in the 80s. Check it out. Single white female. In the movie, one of the characters moves in with the other and they become roommates and friends, and then the person who moves in tries to become and take over the life of the original roommate. It's a really messed up situation. Let's talk about this. To put it really simply, she thinks you're amazing and she's very jealous of you. And she kind of hates you for it. For whatever reason, she has decided that the person you are is someone she wants to be. Maybe that's because as a narcissist, she has no self of her own. It's very common for narcissists to showcase their jealousy by basically taking over the identity of another person. We're going to dig in a little bit.
Narcissists have this sense of grandiosity that we cannot even really fathom within our minds, right? It is incomprehensible to us. This, of course, leads them to have these feelings of entitlement that are huge, so much bigger than we can imagine. What it all comes down to is that no one's really allowed to be better than the narcissist, according to the narcissist. Narcissists in general are likely to see people just like we all are. There's always somebody better than you at something, right? So narcissists will notice people in the world who they become jealous of, because they have developed this sense of I need to be better than everybody in the world at whatever it is that I'm better at. This creates an unresolvable contradiction in the narcissist's mind, sort of like a cognitive dissonance up to a point. Narcissists are jealous on a pathological, intrinsic level. You have to remember, jealousy contains several different aspects. The fear of losing control for narcissists, and for most of us, is very prominent when jealousy is an issue. The fear of abandonment, and of course, the zero tolerance in being compared to other people and seeing that they're not quite as good as someone else. If there is no way for them to, in their minds, avoid the abandonment, they will look for a way to make it all about themselves winning. So they need to have been the breaker-upper. They need to have been the victim. They need to have been the one who wins. So this is where their lack of emotional development causes their disorder to really come out. The feelings are often brought to light by something like narcissistic rage, which, while the narcissist feels jealousy, they won't actually usually admit that that's what they're feeling. Instead, they just rage about it.
Number four, just found out my wife of 6 years is a narcissist. What is the best way of confronting her about all 6 years being fake, cheating, with and without proof on most of these other supplies? Our marriage counselor stated that she will never fix things, and unfortunately, the only way of confronting is in a therapy session in order to not experience an explosion. My stance on confronting narcissists might not be the same as your therapist, but I don't really think it's productive at all. The bottom line here is that when you do try to confront a narcissist, they will experience narcissistic injury and life is going to get really hard. I do think your therapist is right in that doing it inside of a therapy session might be your safest bet, but I still don't expect your narcissist to take responsibility for her behavior. Bonus number five. Should you tell professionals like doctors, psychologists, etc., that you think the person has NPD? My experience on that field is that they don't take it seriously. I would agree with you. I would not tell them. I've noticed that anytime you tell a doctor or a therapist or a psychologist, I Googled it and this is what I learned, they seem to have an anti-Google thing. So no, I would not tell them. I would not advise you to tell them that you think that person has NPD. What you know for sure is that that person has toxic behavior and they make your life hard. I would not diagnose them for the professional. They don't like that. And they would definitely discount it if you did, at least in my experience. This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, can you relate to any of these questions? And if so, which ones? Ask me anything and Maybe I'll answer it in my next video. Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. I'm going to offer a really quick shout out to my entire Spanily. You will notice a new thing I'm doing now where I'm showing you as many subscriber names as I can during this little section of the video, and they're right there. And I just want to say thank you so much for supporting me, for supporting this channel, for liking and sharing my content, and for just being here, commenting, being part of this family. Thank you. And a quick shout out to my amazing channel members, those people who support me through the YouTube channel membership program. Their contributions allow me to continue to make videos for you and be here for you every single day and help me to continue to grow my message in so many ways. Thank you so much, Inner Circle. The amazing Inner Circle includes
La Precious, Beautiful Purpose, Abraham, Chantel, Ashley, Carrie Ann, Charity, Steph, Dana, Mo Cowboy, Shay, Christina, Ray Ray, T, Christy, Boku, Alda, Smith & Wesson, Ms. Lisa, Martha, Freedom Lee, Mindy, Lynn, Marsha, Linnell, Phoenix, Cherie, Alice, Carrie, Angel, Bible News Radio, Linda, Charlie, Laura, Pirlala, Janet, Paul, Delilah, Sarah Lee, Marlene, James F, Trisha, Life's Revival, Lorenzo, Deborah, Roxanne, Susan, and my very first supporter, Angela Falsetta. Thank you. Again, I just want to say thank you so much for hitting that join button. Your support really does mean a lot to me.
Again, thank you so much. All right, that's all I've got for you right now. But as always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.